Series called Next Steps. This new year, last week we looked at the big step that Jesus taught us to seek first, the kingdom of God. The word seek being zeteo, which has to do with zeal. Do it with zeal to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. In line with that message, I'd like to bring a series of, so where do I go? I'm here, maybe I'm new in the church, maybe I'm a new Christian. You say, what do I do? You're here at Grace, and what would be the next logical step? And that's the series that we're going to be looking at, and I want to speak this morning really in the logical steps of your relationship to the Lord. The steps that you need to take if you're going to have a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Spirit. Now, we all know that my body didn't get this big overnight, right? You know that, I guess. I started out as a 8-pound little guy, and I ate, and if I hadn't ate, hadn't drank milk when I was a baby, and eventually my mother moved me, I'm sure, to cereal, baby cereal, and then on to peas and the goober stuff in the bottles, you know, the little bottles. And, you know, we grow gradually, right? Now, it would have been a horrible, horrible thing for my mother to give me birth, and the next day I'm as big as I am today. See, that's kind of stupid. But the reality is, it's the same way with spiritual growth. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen by osmosis. It happens because we take things into our body, physical growth, and the same way with spiritual growth. If you're going to grow spiritually, you have to have a relationship with God and draw upon him as your nourishment. Now, in light of that, I'd like to talk about the Bible and especially focus on the Bible in prayer, because we know that that is the main ingredients for the next steps, if you are newly saved or if you're not reading the Bible and not praying, these are the next steps you have. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, please enable me by your Spirit to teach with passion, with this Holy Spirit's unction, enablement. Help me to think with the Holy Spirit's enablement. Bring the words to my heart, the illustrations. And I just beg you, God, that there might be somebody here that takes this challenge and moves forward into the next step to know you aright and to walk with you. And again, I pray, Lord, if there's somebody who needs to take the step to receive you as their Savior, I pray that they might take that step today. And I can only pray, Lord, that you will continue to help us to grow like you and in your image. In Jesus, that's what it's all about. And I pray to that end that we would grow more and more into your image over 2:16. Amen. Now, you know, I hope you know, that one of the reasons, the main reason that God saved you is to, he designed that you be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. His design in saving you is to grow spiritually up, that you are more and more living like Jesus Christ in his walking in his footsteps. And of course, that is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, them he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now I want you to know this. This is hard to imagine. This is really hard to imagine. We talked about it in Sunday school. One day you will be perfectly righteous. You will only and ever desire to do right. You won't have the battle that you have within you. You have imputed righteousness now. When you believe in Jesus Christ, he credits to your account righteousness. I am today, when God looks at me through the lens of his son, Jesus Christ, I am completely righteous in the eyes of God. Now, am I completely righteous practically? I still sin. But there's going to be a day when I'm glorified and I will be perfectly righteous. And I'll never, ever think of sin again. Now, that's hard for us to understand. But now we're in this process of being ever more and more made into the image of Christ. But one day we'll be completely like him, for we'll see him how? As he is. And we'll be completely like Jesus Christ. Now, in the meantime, we're here on earth and we're moving in a progression towards growing spiritually. And I ask this opening question, is it God's will for his church or this church to grow numerically? Is it God's will? Come on, guys, wake up. I know you were up late last night. I was up late because I had work to do, but I'm trying to say we know it is, don't we? Say, how do we know that? How do you know it's God's will? Okay. He commanded his disciples, do what? Go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this age. I believe that he wants and will save souls through making disciples. And I believe it's God's, I've always believed it was God's will for the church to grow. Now, why don't we always grow? Say, oh, because the church is this and the church is that. No, it's largely because people come and people go. People come, people go. I mean, it's a sad thing, but that's just a reality that happens. Now, I'm sorry about the lights. Maybe you want to turn the lights down a little bit today. We got these new bulbs in there, and they're really bright. Maybe we could turn the lights down just a hair. And let me go back a slide. And we're really going to focus this message on why do I need spiritual discipline to grow his church numerically, and why do I need spiritual discipline to grow in my faith? Spiritual discipline, that's an awful word, isn't it? That's the word we use at the New Year's. I'm going to start to the gym every day or 3 days a week, and I'm going to start exercising. And how long does that last? A week. A month. And so, what's the key word there that we need if we're going to grow spiritually? Discipline. Discipline. It's the truth. There's no way around that. There's no shortcuts to spiritual growth. It will require discipline. And it's just the way it is. The last thing Jesus said to his closest followers before he ascended was the Great Commission. Go and baptize them and teach them what I've taught you. Now, we first need to understand, there's only 2 points in this message, but there's some sub-points. But we need to understand that God wants you to grow in spiritual maturity. Do you believe that? God wants you to grow up in spiritual maturity. In 2 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babies, just like Melody is giving, God willing, will give forth the birth of a newborn baby girl. Brand new little baby. And she will, and we'll all be happy to see, hold this little baby. You see, when I was saved in 1974, I was born a baby Christian. I was born a baby Christian. And I didn't know anything except I want milk. I needed milk. So what is the milk? In 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The only way you're ever going to fulfill what God wants for you to grow is to take in the milk of the word. Now, when I was a baby, did anybody have to force feed me milk? Probably not. I craved milk. I mean, when I didn't get milk, what did I do? I screamed. I screamed bloody murder. And I had to have somebody change my poopy diaper and do everything for me. And that's what it is when you're a Christian, newborn Christian. But you need to connect with people who can take care of you. If you're a new Christian, you need to connect with a church where the people can take care of you and help you to grow spiritually. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to turn to Hebrews today. In Hebrews chapter 6 and 5, the end of verse 5, chapter 5 into verse chapter 6. And I don't know how far I'm going to get this morning, to be honest with you, because we have communion. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, as it is up on the screen there, and some of this I've translated from Greek, what the Greek text says. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary teachings about Christ. And the word elementary is the word arche, or the first teachings that you learned about the, Jesus died for your sins, and he arose again the third day. And he ascended back to the Father, where he sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us when we believe in him. He has sent his Spirit into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. Now, that's the elementary things of becoming a believer. Being saved, being baptized is an elementary teaching. Every person who receives Jesus Christ should, I believe, immediately want to get baptized. I was saved Sunday morning. I was baptized Sunday night. I joined the choir Sunday night. I know that I was weird. But, I mean, I was hog all in. I was just like a hog at the trough. I was all in. I mean, I was, I just dived in. And that's, God just did wonderful things for me through those people, that church. And the blessing and joy that I got out of those people was wonderful. But he says, leave these the discussion of the elementary teachings about Christ. Let us be moved forward. Let us be moved forward toward maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from your acts of sin that lead to death and faith in, and about your faith in God. But I underlined that, let us be moved forward to maturity. And the reason why I did that is because there's two parts to growing spiritually. There's God's part. This is in a passive tense, meaning it's something that's done to you. Being moved forward in spiritual growth is something that God is doing in you, but it's also based upon your relationship and oneness to the Lord. And as you walk with the Lord and as you seek the Lord, God will move you forward, I guarantee you. As you read the word and as you pray and as you come to church and as you get involved in a small group and as you do these things, oh, you say, I don't want all that. I don't want all that. Don't talk to me about all that. I want to say this very clearly. If you have that attitude right from the start, your growth will be very limited. You're limiting yourself. You're hurting yourself in your relationship of moving toward Christ-likeness. We need to take the next steps. Take the next step in our journey to grow up in Jesus Christ. And quit saying, I'm just happy to come Sunday morning and to sit in my chair and to enjoy the beautiful music and to enjoy the pastor. And I'm going to say this to you, don't. I love you. I hope you know that. I love you. But you need more. And it's time to move forward. It's time to take the next step to grow. And so he wants us to move forward toward maturity. Understand that God wants you to grow. Secondly, stop trying and start training. Now that's a mentality. Stop trying. I'm going to try to go on a diet. You ever said that? I know some of you rascals have. I've been on a diet maybe once in my life. I lost the weight and gained it back. I did. I mean, I looked good and it was great and, you know. Diets are not going to make it. It's a lifestyle change. It's a discipline that you determine that you're going to change the way you eat. I mean, hello, if you go to the gym, the first thing they're going to tell you is what? You need, come on, guys, come on, wake up. You need exercise. Hup, two, three, exercise. That's what you need. And what's the second thing they're going to tell you need? Diet. You know, Garfield said diet is, it's die with a T. There's truth there. But it's time to stop trying to walk with the Lord and start in a training mindset that you are going to walk steadily, constantly, consistently with the Lord. Start practicing spiritual exercises. Hebrews 5:14, and this is a great verse, by the way. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature. What's he mean there? Is a T-bone steak for a two-day-old baby? He'll kill it. A two-day-old or a two-week-old or a two-month-old or a one-year-old, I don't know, a one-year-old might, I don't know if you grind it up, I don't know. I don't know those things. I'm not a woman. Nor am I an intellectual, to be honest with you. But solid food is for grown-up people, right? Who by constant practice, I think the New King James and maybe even the NIV use the word who by use. That word use is the word practice. Practice. Who by constant practice have trained themselves, and the Greek word is trained their senses, their internal sense, to distinguish good from evil. Now let me ask you, you go out for football. I remember I went out for football. First time I did was ninth grade. And, you know, you go out to football. I was 150 pounds and 5'2". I was a roly-poly. And I went out for football, and the first couple weeks were horrible. I mean, I was so sore. It was absolutely horrible. on my, I had pain. I felt every part of my body. And what happened with time is that I got into shape. And I wasn't after doing 10 push-ups, you know. But my point is that that's the way it is with spiritual growth. You don't just grow to be a mature person overnight. You grow to be a mature person through time. But you start with doing spiritual exercises. Reading the Bible. Getting in a small group, which we'll talk about in a while. But constant practice, you have to train yourself to walk with the Lord. And you don't get there in the first couple weeks. But I'll tell you what, you'll notice your spiritual appetite will grow. You read, you pray, then you read and you pray, and you read and you pray. And the more you read and you pray, the more stamina, the more you'll want to read and pray. Now, I put this picture up here. This is the gym I go to. Right? Right? That is funny, isn't it? And this is the weights I lift. You don't start at the left. You start at the right. Right? Seriously. I mean, any weightlifter didn't start lifting 500 pounds over his head. He started lifting 100 pounds, maybe 50, I don't know. And then he increases, right? I mean, I'm talking about common sense here. The spiritual training is common sense. But it all comes down to, what do you want to be as a Christian? Do you want to be a Christ-like person? Do you want to be fulfilled and successful in your walk with God? Or don't you care? Say, I just don't care. If you say to me, Pastor, I truly don't care, then I say there's something wrong spiritually, internally. Either you've never were born again, or, and I don't want to think that, but, or you've never tried, or you've never entered into the discipline of doing it and been held accountable by somebody to do it. Oh boy. Turn the lights down more. Now, under number two, stop trying and start training. Start practicing daily spiritual exercise. By constant practice, you'll grow. Under that number two, decide that you are going to train. Remember, it's consistent practice. And I don't know why I did this, but I got into all the, and I didn't do it long, but online conversation about weightlifting and exercise. And you know what the word that stood out to me? You got to do it consistently. That's just the way it is. Consistency is just an important part of growing. And we have to determine that we are going to consistently practice the essential disciplines of prayer and Bible reading that brings forth increasing Christ-likeness. We've just got to determine this, decide this. And under this, now I'm going to give you five points here. First, today I'd like to encourage you to decide. I am going to become a disciplined Christian and enter into reading my Bible every day for the next week. Decide, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Whether you're a teenager, an adult, whether you're 65 or 15 or 25, I am going to open God's Word and begin to read. Secondly, I'm going to choose a place to train, to meet with God. Remember the movie War Room? war room. Do you have a war room? I don't, except my office. But do you have a room, whether it's a kitchen table with a cup of coffee? Do you have a room, and I should say a place and a time? Why do I need to set a time? You tell me, why do I need to set a time? So it becomes a habit. The best time that I would see would be when you get up to have that cup of coffee before you head out to the salt mines or to Cubby and retired people out to the McDonald's. But you need to choose a place and a time. That's important. Choose a place and a time. And it can be before you go to bed. That's kind of a bad time because you're tired. But before you face the day and you say, I've got 10 minutes. Is 10 minutes better than no minutes? Absolutely. To meet with God. Choose a workout plan. That's what they tell you. You got to choose a workout plan. You need to choose a devotional plan. Read through the Bible. For those of us who are mature and we like to read, take it, get it. I mean, read through the Bible tracts are everywhere. I mean, Daily Bread has them. Read through the Bible if you're that aggressive and want to do that. I've done that. Read a chapter each day. Take a chapter, read through John and read a chapter every day. Or Philippians. Our daily bread, that's what they're made for. You know that. That's what they're made for. Daily bread is made for you to have a daily meditative thought and read God's word and think about what God would say to you today. Today. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. The Christian bookstore. I was up there and read through a number of devotional books. There's a number of good daily devotional books up there. A prayer journal. The thing that I think is so vital that lady had was a prayer journal. Write down your prayer requests. Write them down. I'm going to pray for Keith Reese that God would guide the steps of his life in finding what God's will is concerning employment. You know, I'm going to pray for this brother who's not been coming to church, or this sister. I'm going to pray for the orphans of Uganda, the AIDS orphans. I'm going to pray specifically for my neighbor to be saved, on and on. D, get into a small group to strengthen Christian friendships. Get into a small group. I'm telling you, everyone that's a Christian needs to be involved with other Christians to sharpen each other, to encourage each other, to love each other, to pray for each other, to hold each other accountable. Get into a small group. I could say so much more there. And lastly, move forward from the I've got to nagging mindset. I know I need to do this. I'm going to try. To the mindset, I get to walk with God. I get to walk with Jesus Christ. And that's real stuff, guys. That's not phony baloney. That's life changing. I get to go and worship. Now, what's the next steps? Let's just cover a few next steps, practical next steps. Number one, believe. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins. And that's true. That's real. He died, and when he died, he carried our sins in his own body on the cross. He carried your sins on his body when he died. And he was put into the tomb, wrapped as a mummy, laid in a tomb that had never been used. The stone sealed with the Roman seal. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away and he was alive. And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Believe on him as your Lord. I believe. Have God speak to my heart. I believe in Christ that he can save me from my sins. And I accept his payment of what he did for me on the cross. And I believe that he arose from the dead. And I accept you, Jesus Christ, today as my Lord. If you've never taken that step, that's the next step you need to take. Secondly, set a date to get baptized. Say, preacher, Pastor Roy, whatever. I want to get baptized. I want to follow Christ in believer's baptism. That was a commandment, wasn't it? Sure it was. It was his command to go make disciples and baptize them. It wasn't my command, his. Set a date today. I'm going to be baptized in the next month, and we'll baptize you. Start reading the Bible on your own. And we talked about different devotional plans. But get a spot, get a time, and start reading the Bible. That's the next step if you're not doing that. Set aside several minutes to pray every day. And obviously, I'm not talking about when you praying as you go to work, praying through as you go hunting. Say, well, I can pray in the woods. Sure, you can pray in the woods. If I were out hunting, I'd be praying for venison. I would. If I was fishing, we pray, don't we, Dave? Or help me catch the big one. I don't pray for the little one. Let me catch the big one. Set aside minutes to pray each day in your daily life. I'm talking about in your devotional life. But each day, pray as you go. Begin tithing. If you're not tithing, begin to tithe. You're robbing God, I believe, and you're hurting your own finances. Begin to tithe. Invite a friend to church and join a small group. You say, which of those steps would I want to take? These are some next steps for your life. Next week we'll talk more about spiritual ADD, because I got a feeling we got some people like that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege, the highest and happiest, the most fulfilling, exciting life of being your child. To forgive one another as you have forgiven us, as Rich sang about, Lord. To love one another. To serve one another. To encourage one another. Lord, thank you for the church that you designed for every believer in you to be a part of, to be a member involved in. And I just pray, Lord, that you would increase our commitment and our consistency to the church. And I pray now your grace to be with us as we go into communion. I know you will be. Would you encourage us as we remember your death, Christ? Remember your broken body, horribly broken, and the shedding of your blood. Help us to worship you. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.